who's ever heard the concept or the thought of an entitlement mentality? An entitlement mentality. As a matter of fact, some people have even gone as far as saying that this generation, whatever that means, but has an entitlement mentality. Let's have a look at what an entitlement mentality means. An entitlement mentality is a state of mind in which an individual comes to believe that privileges are instead rights, and that they have to and that they are to be expected as a matter of course. In other words, it's sort of like losing a sense of gratefulness, losing a sense of thankfulness for things that that really you might not deserve, but you get anyway, and getting to the point where you think you just deserve everything. Now, I don't believe that at all about this generation. Actually, I think that that statement, that this generation is an entitlement generation, is a generalization. I think any generation in human history that actually is in a prosperous season will come to the point where they feel entitled for anything. I don't just think it's this generation whatsoever. And that whole entitlement thing is like, indulge me. Yeah. Indulge me. I want more and I want it now type thinking. And indulgence actually means self-gratification or over-consumption. To become an over-consumer. And I want to talk to you tonight about this. I just want to make this statement. Don't indulge me. Please don't indulge me. If that's what that means. And like I'm like anyone else. I like to indulge myself. Who here likes to indulge themselves? Four honest people. Amazing. Four honest people. Can I have the photograph, please? I mean, just think of this. I mean, that's indulgence. Actually, it's called indulgence, and that is an incredible ice cream. But at the end of the day, I'm on a fitness binge. I'm getting fit. Yay! It's no fun getting fit because I can't indulge myself, but that's okay because I don't want you to indulge me. But the fact is, we all love to be indulged, don't we? Come on, girls, you love your facial? Little mani, little pedi, get all shiny and sparkly everywhere. Guys, how do we indulge ourselves? Steak. Take me to Hog's Breath. Steak, yeah. Jared got it straight away. Take me to Hog's Breath. Steak and bacon. That's how we indulge ourselves. But at the end of the day, indulgence is not necessarily a good thing. Please, state after me. Don't indulge me. Don't indulge me. So let's go to Luke chapter 12. And this is at the end of a story where Jesus tells a story about servants that were in a household that were meant to look after the master's household. And when he found them not really diligent about what they were doing, he got pretty upset with them. And after disciplining them, Jesus says this about the whole story. This is the explanation. For to everyone whom much is given, from him much shall be required. To whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. It's this sense of if the master has invested. So in the story, the master had these people in his house that were serving the house. Obviously, he paid them wages. He was invested. Obviously, he had trained them. He was invested. Obviously, he gave them opportunity. So he was invested. And the fact is, no one invests without expecting a return. No one in their right mind. If you're an investor that invests and doesn't expect a return, then you're actually indulging someone else with your investment. Do you understand what I mean? You're actually just giving out and you're not expecting anything back. It is just the way life works, that if you're invested in something, you are looking for a return on your investment. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's just saying, you know, if you've got a servant and you've trained him up and you've paid him wages and you've given them opportunity and then they don't do the job, there's something wrong with that. Because to them that much is given, much will be required. You okay? You're very quiet tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's God given you? You might actually ask the question like, what has God ever done for me? Well, you've got the air you breathe. Okay, you've got your life. And the fact is that, you know, most of us have got funny sort of talents and things attached to us. True. Like, who here is a tongue roller? Come on, who? Admit it. Who can roll their tongue like that? Roll your tongue. Jared, can you roll your tongue? He's a tongue roller. Okay, so who's a tongue roller? Okay, and who's a flat tonguer? See, we're all gifted in different ways, aren't we? Some of us can roll our tongues, some of us, they're flat. But either way, we've been sort of given something that's quite unique. I grew up, I had a childhood friend who was double jointed in one of his elbows. Funnily enough, not both, but just one of his elbows. And his name was Robert, and I can remember he used to be able to just do this. He'd just go like that, hold his arm, and his arm would hang down here somewhere, you know. And I'll never forget, I don't know how old we were, maybe 11, and he went to my mum, and like he showed me, and it was like enough to make you sick. And then he decided to play a joke on mum one morning when she came out to give us morning tea, and he goes, look, Mrs. Mulhare, I think I broke my arm, like that. And his arm hangs down. My poor old mum, well, she wasn't that old then, she was just like, thought he'd broken his arm. But we all have unique things. I went to, who's here got a funny double jointed thing that they'd be willing to come and show me? Come on, come up, mate. Come and show us. What's as long as you can keep all your clothes on, come show us. So what's the double jointed thing? Oh, that's a beauty. That's a beauty. Good on you. Now that is gifting, isn't it? That is talent. Come on, let's give it up. Let's give it up for the double-jointed shoulder. I went to school with another kid that could, reverse his eyelids. But I don't know, does anyone else be able to do that? But he used to grab him with his thumb and, like, do this, and then he'd look at you, and on the top of his eyes, it was the underneath and the inside of his eyelid, because they were double back on each other like a frog. So he just looks so. The thing is, you'd be in class, you know, and you'd be trying to, you know, the teachers. I went to a Christian Brothers school where they used to thump you back then. They were allowed to, and so you know we'd be trying to behave ourselves, and that was just impossible between sitting next to Greg Philippa and this guy. And this guy would like he'd look away, he'd do this, and then he'd look back at you. And you're looking at the underneath of his eyelids right across his eye, and then you'd be like, whoa, like that. Then he'd flick him back, and just as the teacher turned around, he'd flick him back, and then you're the one doing the laugh, and he's there like, what are you laughing at? Nothing, miss, because it's gone, you know. We're all uniquely gifted, and sometimes we just don't realize that, but we've got to ask ourselves the question, if we've been given things like that, and maybe things more serious. If you come along to it a bit, some of you are good with mathematics and numbers, and some of you are good with creativity and drawing or music or singing or whatever it is. Some of you are great with your hands and trade, and we've all been skilled in different ways to bring glory to God, to basically live on this planet and reflect His goodness through the uniqueness that we are. We've all been given that opportunity. So the question comes down to, like, what are we doing? To them that much is given, much should be required. So, like, what are some of the opportunities? You know, you might go think about it naturally. What have you been born with? And I've made some jokes, but probably most of us know something that we're pretty good at. Hopefully it's not illegal, you know, but we know something. You need to redirect your talents if that's the case. But you know, we're good at certain things. What about stuff that's been added to us? So there's what we've naturally been given. What about stuff that's been added to us? Experiences that we've had, training that we've had, opportunities that we've been given, people that have invested into our lives. I remember being here as a young person many years ago and being tapped on the shoulder literally at a night service, after a night service, by the pastor of the time, Peter Aspen. That was before we were in this building, we were in our previous building, and he tapped me on the shoulder and asked me to be his intern. And at that point, that person was believing in me, sowing into me, taking a risk with me. Never dreamed it would end up here. He probably never dreamed I'd end up doing what I did, but it all began because someone invested in me. You know, and we've got to think, what have people invested in me? Not just what was I born with, but what has been given to me opportunities-wise. I think of the next pastor then, that was Rod Plummer, who just rang me again and again and again when I was first out pastoring out in a little crow's nest country church with 12 people, and Pastor Rod ringing me almost every week. How you doing, mate? How are the services going? Have you got any leaders there, people that you can raise up and so into? And it took me quite a while for me to actually trust him. I used to wonder, why does this guy keep ringing me? And then I worked it out. He just cared about me. And I look back and it's like, man, someone actually sowed into me and invested in me. And that was really, really precious and special. I wonder about you, whether you've had people who've believed in you at some point, whether you've had people that have trusted you with something at some point. Hopefully you did okay with that trust. You might be someone that has been employed and given an opportunity to actually work and to earn money and to get ahead in life in that sense. These things are all investments in our lives. They're all investments. And it's really important that we never get to a point where we just think those things, the things that we've been given by God, the things that we've been given, the opportunities where people have sowed into our lives, have watered seed or have encouraged us or built us up or, you know, given us trust, whatever that is, we never can get to the point, afford to get to the point where we just think that that is an indulgence. You know, I've been indulged because someone believes in me. Actually, it always is meant to lead somewhere. To them that much is given, much is required. Much is expected of those that much has been given to. Genesis chapter 12 talks about the blessing that was on Abraham's life. And he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And just leave that scripture up there for a minute. But you can see right there, straight away, God blessed Abraham. It wasn't about indulging Abraham. It wasn't about him over-consuming. He was being blessed for a reason, so that he would be a blessing. God saw his blessing upon Abraham as an investment in others. If I bless you and you are a good steward of what I give you, then everyone around you will be blessed as well. You know, I think that's exactly the way that God feels about us and thinks about us. He wants to bless us, but it's never just about us. As I said this morning, if you're in this morning service, and I think I've said it here many times, it is a little bit like a garden hose. You know, a garden hose's destiny, the destiny of the good old Gardena green garden hose, is not to get wet. It's to get water where the water needs to go. But while it is fulfilling its destiny, it gets wet as well. Yeah, I understand what I mean. And so we've got to put things in the right order, and we will be blessed. God wants to bless us, but it's always about an investment in others. If I bless you, the blessing will overflow and affect others all around you. The blessing is never about us. Just recently, this just got driven home to me, and literally this is how I came up with this message in the sense. This is how it hit my heart, and I thought, I've got to share on this whole thought of don't indulge me. I've been for about 9 years now, I've been leading the ACC region in this area with about 23 churches in a whatever, just overseeing it on a committee, just looking after pastors and training and whatnot. And that's just been a role that I've enjoyed and loved and whatnot. But a couple of years ago, I was actually asked onto another level of leadership in our movement, which meant I was wearing two hats as well as my local church hat. And with the building and everything that's happening in our world at the moment, it's just like, man, this is just too much. And not only that, I'd been in that role for 9 years. It was like, it's time for some fresh leadership. And so I spoke to one of the guys that I meet with, and you guys, some of you have heard this story, but I meet online and we have a discipleship group. because we meet online, and I actually disciple and mentor pastors online every week that I'm available and that I'm here, which is most weeks of the year. And so we're in this discipleship group, and one of these guys is a young leader in our region from Roma, and by that he's like 15 years younger than me, so he seems like so young, it's unbelievable. And anyway, I asked him some time ago, would you consider leading the region? I'd like to pass the thing. And he felt that he couldn't do it at the time, even though I believed in him, even though, and not that I'd ever done it with this intention, but even though I'd been sowing into him and growing him as a leader and encouraging him, and he's, you know, he's a real student, a real disciple. He just wanted to grow and learn. It was never intentional, but it just got to the point where I thought, man, you are the next generation. You're the guy I would love to see leading this region next. Yet for a number of reasons, he said no. He'd had a child about not long before, maybe it might have been 6 or 8 months before I asked him. He'd had a child who had some very serious health issues, a new baby. And so, you know, I can understand. And he put it off and he put it off. And I asked him several times, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to do this and whatnot? And I'd actually got to the point where I'd given up thinking that I had another leader. I'm thinking, who else can I pick? Because I really wanted to put the ball on the chest of a next generation leader. And I'm trying to think now, who can I get to do it next? And then one day I just got a phone call out of the blue from him. I was driving along, I think I was coming back from Brisbane Airport or something like that. I'm driving along and the phone rings and it's this guy. And he starts talking to me and he says, hey, do you still want me to do that role? I'm like, you mean the executive role? Yep. I'm like, absolutely. He's like, well, you know, I really think God has spoken to me about doing this role, and I'm ready to do it. And I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. But then he begins to tell me why. He said he actually prepared a sermon with one of his new young guys in the church, and he was trying to get him preaching. And so he said, you prepare the sermon, but because you're really new at this, you do the first half of the message and I'll do the second half of your message. How cool is that? I thought, we need to do that, Jared. And so he writes this whole message, and then he's intending to share the second half. And he gets up, and the young guy who'd been mentored by him had actually said, I realize the reason I've stepped up to lead youth and I've stepped up in leadership in the church is because I realize that Pastor Shane has been sowing into my life and investing in my life for quite some time, and I felt that I needed to do something to, like, give back. But the funny thing is Shane, Pastor Shane, is up there. He's preaching this guy's notes, and he hits that point. And he said, as I was preaching that point, I realized that I had not done that myself. Even though I was investing in this young guy, you have invested in me, Chris, and I realized I've got to give back. So here I am on the phone saying, I'm your man. I've been invested in. And he said, and these were his words, so this message is his message, not my message. He said, I realized that the time you invested in me was not an indulgence, but it was actually God preparing me for the next step of the journey. How powerful is that? And so I just want to encourage you, think about your own life. Like, what has been invested in you? And never get to the point, we don't want to be the entitlement generation, do we? I don't believe. So at no point, no matter what area of life, it can be in business, it can be in your work, it can be in your study, it can be in your sport, it can be in your school, it can be in church, no matter what area, if someone has invested into you, think about the investment that's been made in you and determine not to just overconsume, but to actually allow that blessing to flow out to people around you. To take what's been invested and deposited in your life and make a difference in the lives of others. And, you know, I know from personal experience here, when just a few people really step up into that kind of living, the impact it makes. And I look across this room, and so many in this place are actually living out of that. I'm not living for myself. Isn't it amazing what Jesus does? He breaks you out of that little narrow world that's all about you and helps you realize that God has invested in me so that I can be a channel of blessing to those around me. And I just want to, I want to thank you. As I look out across you tonight, so many faces that I see are just so invested in others that have not seen what God has done in their life, have not seen what leaders have done in their life, have not seen, you know, the opportunities they've been given as an indulgence, but see it as empowering and training for the next level in life itself. And so I can I pray for you tonight? Because I just appreciate so many that have recognized that investment and gone, you know what? This is not about me just bearing it, me just keeping it, me just consuming it. This is about me being faithful with what I've been given. Cool. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for every heart. I thank you, Father, that the blessings that come to our life are not an indulgement. They're an empowerment for us to make a difference, for us to see the world bigger, to get a bigger vision of how you can use us and use our lives to touch those around us. And I thank you, Father, for so many hearts in this place that are living and moving in that principle, that understand that much has been given, that much has been invested, whether that was born with natural talent or whether that's just people around us believing in us and encouraging us to do great things with our lives. And we just want to receive that word tonight. We want to walk in it and move in it and make it live in everyday life. So Father, help us, give us opportunity wherever we are, in school, in uni, in the marketplace, in the workplace, running a business, wherever we're at, whatever age or station of life. Father, help us be an incredible, powerful influence on those around us, and help us take what you've put in our lives and pour it out to feed others, in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you know, as I've spoken about this, probably the greatest investment that God has ever made is that God gave his son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And he gave what was dearest to him as an investment in humanity. From what I can see, it's paid off hugely. Paid off hugely as multiple millions of people through the ages have had their lives totally changed and impacted by God. But what's that mean for you tonight? Maybe you haven't actually got an act of faith in God. Maybe you wouldn't say, look, I haven't got to the point where I've really surrendered to the God plan for what God wants to do in my life and in this world through me. And I just want to give you an opportunity tonight in the closing moments of this service, because maybe you've got to that point tonight where you just think, you know what? This isn't about me. This is about my life making a difference, my life putting a dent in the universe. And that all begins with a relationship with Jesus that empowers us to do great things. So while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're going to pray a prayer just in a few moments' time. But just before we look up, if you're here and you just know, that's right where I'm at, Chris. That's right where I'm at. I want Jesus to do something in my heart. I want my life to count, to matter. I want my life to be in God's hands and for God to do amazing things through me. And you might seem like miles off that. That might seem like, wow, that just seems like an impossibility. Hey, God's into the impossible. God takes the humblest things. God takes the most unusual things and uses them to do something amazing. And that just could be you tonight. You know, you might feel disqualified, but no one is disqualified from God's love and God's acceptance and God's forgiveness. And so right now tonight, in the closing moments of this service, if you're here and you're just like, Chris, that's me. I need to make my way to God tonight. We're going to pray this simple prayer in a moment. But before we look up to the screens, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if that's you, why don't you just indicate that and say, that's me, Chris. Raise your hand up where I can see it. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again. It won't embarrass anyone, but I just want to give everyone who's here that opportunity. If you've never made your peace with God, this is your opportunity to reach out to God. God bless you. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Others in this place, yep, I see you over there in the back. That is absolutely awesome. What a great decision. Others in this place, just in these closing moments, I won't prolong it too long, but I just want to give anyone who needs to make that decision, the best decision you could ever make, I just want to give you the opportunity to make it tonight. I'm just going to look across the auditorium one more time. If that's you, I've seen a couple of people, both sides of the building, I've seen people respond. Is there anyone else here tonight that just needs to make their way to Jesus tonight? He loves you. He's reaching out to you right now. Fabulous. Fantastic. That's awesome. I just want to pray for you right where you sit here tonight. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people who are just opening their hearts to you right now. I thank you for blessing them, for blessing their lives. I thank you for leading them. I thank you for making yourself so wonderfully real to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How about we look up here and look, this is a prayer we pray every week together. I certainly don't think it hurts Christians to pray it more than once in their life. And the fact is that sometimes it's, you know, there's people amongst us, it's the first time they've ever prayed a prayer like this in their lives. And so it's such an important moment. And I'm going to ask all of us that already know Jesus and walk with Jesus, if you'd pray this prayer with me. And if you responded tonight, then I just encourage you, make this prayer your own as you pray it tonight. If you pray it meaning it, then God will meet you right where you are. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Amen. And look, honestly, that is as simple as it gets when it comes to meeting Jesus. When you open your heart, you really want God to do something in your life. You ask for his forgiveness and you're willing for him to start leading you. Man, God is going to do something amazing in your life. If that is your prayer, God is going to do something amazing. So if you responded tonight, make sure you don't leave without grabbing us, saying hi. We want to give you a Bible. Make sure that you've got a Bible to read and encourage you on the beginning of your journey. How wonderful is that? So how about we give it up for those folk that made a decision tonight to follow Jesus? That is fabulous. And for the rest of us, are we dancing or what?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Why don't we get on our feet? Let's go out of here praising God.